Welcome to Matt Rothschild. A little bit about Matt. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Prior to joining the Democracy Campaign at the start of 2015, Matt worked at the Progressive magazine for 32 years. For most of those, he was the editor and publisher of the Progressive. While there, he wrote a book entitled You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. And he edited an anthology called Democracy in Print, The Best of the Progressive, 1909 to 2009. His opinion pieces have run in the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, the Miami Herald, and a host of other newspapers. He's appeared on Nighttime, NPR, C-SPAN, and WISC-TV, where he does election night commentary. That's coming soon!
No.
If you live in Wisconsin, you may have heard him on The Devil's Advocate, WOJB, Wart, or Wisconsin Public Radio. Matt's first job out of college was working for Ralph Nader at a publication called Multinational Monitor. A bird watcher, he lives with his wife, Jean, in the town of Dunn. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, thanks, Ellen, for that sweet introduction. And thanks to Fritz for logistically getting me ready for this event. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in on the Zoom. It's great to be with the Free Congregation again. Actually, the first talk I gave after I came to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign in January 2015 was to you all on Thomas Paine, and that was a fun talk to give. And then I was last at Park Hall earlier this year for the memorial service for George Shalaby, who is an old friend of mine and a big member of the community there in Sauk. So I miss George and Peggy. I miss them both. But it's nice to be with you. Just a word or two about the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign before I get to the subject of my talk today, which is banning gerrymandering in Wisconsin. The Democracy Campaign was founded 25 years ago, and we track and expose money in politics, and we advocate for pro-democracy reforms across the board so that we can have a democracy actually where everybody has an equal voice. That's what I think democracy is. And we're a far cry from it at this point. So there are a lot of pro-democracy reforms we need. We need to get rid of money in politics and overturn the Citizens United decision and proclaim finally that corporations aren't persons and money isn't speech. We need to combat racism. You can't have an equal voice in this society when you have a policeman's knee on your neck, and you can't have an equal voice when you're discriminated against systemically, as people of color are. We also need to get to a situation where we're closer to economic democracy. Actually, it was Justice Louis Brandeis, one of the great Supreme Court justices, who 80 years ago said, "We have to make a choice. You can either have wealth concentrated in the hands of the few, or you can have a democracy, but you can't have both." And Teddy Roosevelt said 100 years ago that we can't have political democracy unless we have something approaching economic democracy. And we're not approaching economic democracy now. We're going 180 degrees from that. We've got, as Bernie Sanders used to say, an oligarchy here. And as Jimmy Carter said, we got an oligarchy with unlimited political bribery, legalized political bribery. So at the Democracy Campaign, we campaign against that kind of political bribery day in and day out. And then I talk on a whole range of pro-democracy issues. Actually, University of Wisconsin Press has just accepted my manuscript called 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin, which will be out next fall. So I'm excited about the whole range of pro-democracy reforms that we need to bring Wisconsin, also bring this country to meet some of the highest ideals of our founders, which I thought I'd mention here on Founders Day. But let's talk about gerrymandering. First, I want to just tell you the roots of that word. I didn't really know the roots of the term gerrymandering until I came over here 6 years ago. And gerrymandering derives from a term that came into being early part of the 19th century in Massachusetts, because in Massachusetts at that time, there was a governor named Gary or Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, and he rigged the political maps. That's what gerrymandering is, political maps, of district maps, to entrench your political party in power if you've got control. And Governor Jerry did have control at that point. And every 10 years after the census is done, according to the U.S. Constitution, you've got to redraw the map so that each district in your state has roughly the same number of people in it. And people move out and people move in. And so you've got to redraw the maps to adjust for that. But rather than simply adjusting for the migration of people, what political parties tend to do is, if they're in power, they try to rig the maps and push their opponents into as few districts as possible so the remaining districts will vote for them. And that's what Governor Jerry did. And he drew maps that were so weirdly shaped. Some looked actually like salamanders. So people put the name Jerry and salamander together to get to gerrymander. And that's a term that's been with us now for 200 years, gerrymandering. And we need nonpartisan redistricting, which is the opposite of gerrymandering. As the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, hyperpartisan gerrymandering is incompatible with democratic principles. And I'm against gerrymandering, whether it's Republicans rigging the map or whether it's Democrats rigging the map. And actually, I fought the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and the leaders of the party back in 2009 for not solving the problem back then. Because remember, and it's kind of hard to remember after what we've lived through the last 10 years, but in 2009, the Democrats had full control of the legislature. They had a majority in the state assembly and a majority in the state Senate, and they had a Democrat in the governor's mansion, Jim Doyle. And so they could have banned gerrymandering right then and there if they wanted to, simply by passing a law that says we're going to have not the political parties in power draw the maps, but an independent, nonpartisan career civil servants at the Legislative Reference Bureau draw the maps. And actually, there was a bill that some Democrats had put forward at that time in 2009 to give us independent nonpartisan redistricting. And there actually was a hearing in favor of it, or where they took testimony so people could testify in favor of it. But the leadership of the Democratic Party and the legislature didn't want to bring it to a vote. And why did they want to bring it to a vote? Because political power is one of the most intoxicating drugs there is on the market. And when you're in power, you don't think you're ever going to lose power. And so they were drunk with their power, the Democrats were, in 2009, thinking they were going to win again in 2010, and then could rig the maps for Democrats in 2011. But lo and behold, November 2010, what happened? There was a Republican sweep. Scott Walker came in, won the governorship, and Republicans amazingly took over both the state assembly and the state Senate. And they didn't hesitate once they got the power to rig the maps. They hired actually someone from the University of Oklahoma, of all places, to come to Madison to help them rig the maps. And drawing the maps should be something that's done out in the open. It should be a transparent process. It should be done in the Capitol, in the people's building, because they're doing the people's business. But rather than doing it in the Capitol, what the Republican leadership did and this Oklahoma professor did was they went across the street into the glass bank on the square in Madison, and set up shop in the cushy law offices of Michael Best and Friedrich, a conservative law firm. And they drew the maps in a room that became known as the map room. And the map room was a locked map room. The people of Wisconsin weren't allowed into the locked map room. Democrats weren't allowed into the locked map room. The media wasn't allowed into the locked map room. None of you were allowed into the locked map room. And even Republican legislators who weren't in a position of leadership could not get into the locked map room unless they got permission from the speaker's two young staffers who held the keys to the locked map room. And once they got into the locked map room, Republican legislators could only look at their own redrawn district. And before they could leave the locked map room, they had to swear an oath of secrecy. They couldn't tell anybody about what was going on in the locked map room. And that's not how democracy is supposed to work. That's 180 degrees from how democracy is supposed to happen. It's supposed to be in the open and transparent. And here it was in a locked map room with oaths of secrecy. And what were they doing in this locked map room? What was so fancy that they couldn't tell anyone about it? Well, it was pretty crafty. The University of Oklahoma professor and the speaker's staff kept constant the number of voters in Wisconsin when they were drawing the maps. They kept the affiliation of those voters the same. Same number of Democrats, same number of Republicans as voted in the previous election. And then they just drew the maps so that they could, with the same number of voters, just gain seats in the assembly by moving a line here and moving a line there on the map. Essentially, what they did was two things. One, they crammed as many Democrats into as few districts as possible. And the other tactic was to split Democrats in towns and in cities and splinter them off into rural areas so their vote, the city itself would no longer be Democratic. And part of the city would be in the rural area to the west, for instance, and part would be in the rural area to the north, for example. And those city voters who tended to vote Democratic would get swallowed up by the predominantly Republican voters in the rural areas. So the University of Oklahoma professor and the speaker's staff, they drew not just one map, they drew nine maps, each one predicting a higher level of Republican majority than the previous one, simply by getting more aggressive in how they were splintering Democrats or cramming Democrats together. And you know what? It worked great. They really knew what they were doing. Look at what happened in 2018. In 2018, in an aggregate basis in Wisconsin for the state assembly seats, Democrats won 54% of the votes, but Republicans held 63% of the seats. So that's good rigging if you can get away with it, and they did get away with it. For a while there, it looked like they weren't going to get away with it because some Democrats sued. And there was this big lawsuit. It was called the Whitford case. Democrats from across Wisconsin got together and sued in a federal district court. A panel of three federal judges in Madison heard the case. It was in the Blue Federal Building in downtown Madison. I was there for the case. It was an incredible case. The plaintiffs put on a tremendous case, tremendous evidence. They actually got the speaker's aides who held the keys to the lock map room to testify, and actually one of them lied through his teeth. The plaintiff's lawyer said, well, why'd you make nine incarnations of these maps? Wasn't it to predict a greater percentage of Republican assembly seats being gained? And they said, no, there was no predictive value whatsoever in these maps. It was just an exercise we were doing. Well, it was so laughably false that all three judges said it lacked total credibility in their ruling. And even though the ruling was 2-1, all three judges said this guy essentially lied through his teeth. But their ruling, the majority ruling, and it was written by a judge who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, the majority ruling said this was an unconstitutional deprivation of First Amendment rights to the plaintiffs, their right to associate freely and speak freely, and also a violation of their 14th Amendment right to due process and equal justice under the law. And so that was a historic ruling to say that hyperpartisan gerrymandering, like what happened in Wisconsin, the court ruled it was one of the worst gerrymanders in modern American history, that it actually violated constitutional rights. And so it went to the U.S. Supreme Court a couple Junes ago. And the U.S. Supreme Court punted on the case, on the merits of the case, and sent it back to that panel of federal judges to rule. And they were supposed to rule about a year and a half ago on it. But before they could rule on it, the U.S. Supreme Court took up two other gerrymandering cases. One was from North Carolina, where the Republicans had rigged the maps, and the other was from Maryland, where the Democrats had grotesquely rigged the maps. So this was a perfect opportunity for the U.S. Supreme Court once and for all to say, look, hyper-partisan gerrymandering is unconstitutional, and basically honor what the federal judges had ruled here in the Wisconsin case. It looked like they were going to do that at the outset, because Chief Justice Roberts started his opinion by saying, actually, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was right, that partisan gerrymandering is incompatible with our democratic principles. So when he said that, I thought for sure they're going to rule against it, because how can you be Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court and acknowledge that something's incompatible with democratic principles and not do anything about it? But that's what Chief Justice Roberts did. Basically, he said, go away, don't ever come back. We don't want to hear from you on hyperpartisan gerrymandering cases ever again. Every federal courthouse door should be locked to you if you're bringing these kinds of suits, because it's, in his fancy word, injusticiable. It's beyond the reach of the judicial branch to solve this problem of partisan gerrymandering. It's a political issue, Justice Roberts said, Chief Justice said, and said you got to solve it back at the state level. Well, that's kind of a chicken and egg problem, because if the state has already rigged the maps, if the party in power has already rigged the maps, how are you going to solve the problem at the state level? That's the problem we face here in Wisconsin. And let me just tell you what's likely to happen next year when the census delivers its data to the legislature. The legislature, and here I got my pundit hat on, I'm predicting is still going to be in the state assembly is still going to be Republican, the state Senate is still going to be Republican. And they are liable to rig the maps again, to try to give them an even more advantageous map this time around than even in 2011. And then it should go to Governor Evers, and he can veto it. And if he vetoes it, it will then go into court. There'll be a sprint between Republican lawyers and Democratic lawyers as to who can get into the courthouse the fastest and which courthouse you can get into. Democrats will try to get into the federal courts, even though there is this bad decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. And they'll try to make a case that those maps are unconstitutional, perhaps on racial gerrymandering grounds, which is still available for federal judges to review. Republicans want to go to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, where they have a 4-3 majority. It's not a locked majority, because Justice Hagedorn, actually, who is extremely conservative, has showed an independent streak in some important cases. So it's not a slam dunk that the Republicans would win even at the state Supreme Court, but it's likely. Now, the Republicans in the legislature could also try a fancy move, which is not even allow Governor Evers to exercise his veto. They could pass something called a joint resolution, which doesn't go to the governor, and pass the maps on a joint resolution and say, well, we're going to just run these maps through this way. That's illegal, according to the statutes in Wisconsin and to a prior ruling 50 years ago by the state Supreme Court. So the state Supreme Court would have to rule on that. And again, that might not, they might uphold what the legislature does, or they might not. We'll have to see. But the other way they could ram the maps through is if Robin Voss got his veto-proof majority in the assembly and the state Senate got a veto-proof majority. They have to win three seats, flip three seats in the assembly and three seats in the Senate to get that. If they do that, it won't matter whether Evers has any ink in his veto pen or not, because they'll be able to override any veto that he might put down. Now, what is the solution to this problem? The solution is the Iowa model. Now, the Iowa model has been in place in Iowa for more than 40 years. And the neat thing about this is we don't have to solve this problem ourselves. We don't have to invent the wheel here. Iowa invented the wheel 40 years ago, and they didn't put a patent on it. We can just take the Iowa model and transfer it here to Wisconsin. And what does the Iowa model do? It says career civil servants will draw the maps, not the party in power if there's one party in power. And the career civil servants are sworn to being nonpartisan. Now, if you're a skeptical person, you might say, well, everybody's partisan deep down one way or another, so won't they be able to rig the maps? Well, actually, they'd be committing a crime if they tried to rig the maps to favor one political party or another, because the Iowa model, the legislation in Iowa, which has been introduced here in Wisconsin, has specific criteria that forbids the people drawing the maps at the Legislative Reference Bureau, for instance, from using that data that the University of Oklahoma professor used, the demographic political data that says, how did people vote in this district and how did people vote in that district? You can't even look at that data when you're drawing the map. And if you can't look at that data, it makes it really hard to rig a map in favor of whichever party you want. Also, you're supposed to draw maps that respect local boundaries, which means you're not supposed to break up towns and cities and villages. You're not even supposed to try to break up counties if you can help it. And you're supposed to follow natural borders like rivers and lakes. And you can't draw funky looking maps like salamanders. Or there's one map in DeForest here where a guy has a tree in his backyard, and depending on which branch of the tree in his backyard he sits in, he could be in three different assembly seats. I mean, that's just goofy map drawing. And so we want to have the Iowa model here at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We've been campaigning for the Iowa model for 25 years. And there's now this huge grassroots movement to get nonpartisan redistricting passed in Wisconsin. There are already 54 counties that have passed county board resolutions, including Sauk County, in favor of urging the legislature to ban gerrymandering and give us nonpartisan independent redistricting. There are 17 counties that have already passed referendums by overwhelming margins, including Sauk County, back in 2018, to say we need independent nonpartisan redistricting. This is how we're gathering momentum and accelerating the pressure. And on November 3rd, there are 11 more referendums in 11 counties. The nearest one is Iowa County and Jefferson County, and Adams County, but there are other counties too, Bayfield and Brown and Crawford and Door and Dunn and Kenosha County and Rust County and Washera County all have referendums, non-binding referendums, because we don't have binding referendums in Wisconsin, non-binding referendums urging the legislature to ban gerrymandering. And so this is a very exciting grassroots effort. A lot of it's been spontaneous from the grassroots, and some has been organized by groups like us or League of Women Voters or Common Cause or the Fair Elections Project or Wisconsin Voices. And one neat thing is all these groups are working together. We meet regularly, we work together, we organize together, we push these referendums and county board resolutions. You know, they're not 54 or 55 out of the 72 counties that are blue counties or that are progressive counties. They're not 24 counties that are progressive counties in Wisconsin anymore, I don't think. So this just goes to show you that this is popular across the board. There was a Marquette Law School poll that came out almost 2 years ago now that showed that 72% of Wisconsinites want to ban gerrymandering in Wisconsin. And the neat numbers underneath that one are that 63% of Republicans agreed with that. And 76% of independents agreed with that. I just think that Wisconsinites are sick and tired of the manipulating, power-grabbing games by whichever politician's in power or whichever party is in power. We just want a level playing field. It shouldn't be too much to ask. And so I think we're going to get this. We're in a 2 to 4 year battle here to ban gerrymandering in Wisconsin. We're not going to get it done this November, though we are accelerating the pressure. But at some point soon, and I think in 2 or 4 years, any candidate running for office or any person in elective office in Wisconsin who doesn't pledge to ban gerrymandering in Wisconsin is going to risk losing his or her job. And that is the language that elected officials and candidates really understand. And if they're going to continue to be obstinate about rigging the maps, they're going to be out of power. Even Robin Voss is going to have to sing a different tune on gerrymandering than he's singing now if he wants to hold on to power, because the pressure is getting so high. I mean, here's another illustration. In previous legislatures, there's been a bill that's come forward to ban gerrymandering in Wisconsin, and it's never had more than one Republican co-sponsor before. But in this last session, there were 5 Republican co-sponsors, 4 more than ever before. And one was Jeff Mersaw, a Republican up north. And here's why he signed on to be a co-sponsor to this bill. Every week he would do a Facebook poll of his constituents, how they felt on specific pieces of legislation or specific issues that were in the news. And one week he did a poll on this bill for nonpartisan redistricting. Well, lo and behold, 78% of his constituents responding to the poll said, we'd really want you to sign on to this piece of legislation. And that's what he did. And that's how democracy is supposed to work. These legislators are supposed to represent their people. And to his credit, Jeff Mersaw did that. I think there are going to be more and more legislators signing on. So that's what we're trying to do in this movement to marshal pressure on legislators. I just want to talk before I take your questions, one more thing. And that's the People's Maps Commission. Governor Evers, to his credit, is a backer of the Iowa model. He backed it in his budget. The Republicans took it out of his budget. So he, by executive order, created this People's Maps Commission. And what is the People's Maps Commission? Well, it has 9 commissioners on it that were appointed by 3 judges. And they're taking input around the state in each congressional district. They're having public hearings so that people can testify as to why they want a different kind of redistricting. And in my view, why a lot of them are going to be testifying as to why they want to ban gerrymandering, and that'd be a good thing. And then when the census data comes in, the People's Maps Commission is going to draw what they consider to be fair maps. And so they're going to have the People's Maps Commission maps, the fair maps that they drew, versus the maps the Republicans come up with. Now, the People's Maps Commission, it doesn't solve the problem because the maps that they draw, the legislature can totally ignore. They don't even have to vote on it. They don't even have to look at them because it's coming from the executive branch and the legislature is going to draw its own maps. So it's not a solution. We shouldn't kid ourselves that we don't have to work hard on this issue anymore because there's that People's Maps Commission. I love the fact that the People's Maps Commission is there and that they're taking input and that they're going to draw maps that should be fairer than the ones that we got in 2011 and probably fairer than the ones that we're going to see come out of the legislature. But it is just a part of the public relations effort, the public marshaling of pressure on all of our legislators from both parties, that people have got to come around, these elected officials have to come around to the Iowa model. And so that's what we're pushing. And I'm delighted that folks in Sauk County have passed the referendum and the county board has passed the resolution. I don't know if you know folks out in Columbia County, we haven't been able to crack Columbia County for some reason. It's one of the few counties in the southern half of the state that hasn't signed on to this. I mean, I used to carry around this map. I'd travel all around the state giving this talk, and I'd have this big map behind my shoulder here. And it used to be pretty much white. And now it's been colored in purple because those purple counties are counties that have either passed resolutions or passed referendums or both to say that they want to ban gerrymandering in Wisconsin. So I can feel the momentum building. It's one of the biggest grassroots movements going on in Wisconsin right now. It's a real hopeful movement. It crosses ideological grounds, and I think it's going to bear fruit. And so I want to encourage everyone to continue to participate in this movement. We just need to get it done. It's one of those reforms where we really need to see if we're going to get Wisconsin to be a democracy that's more functional than that we have right now. As Fighting Bob La Follette said 100 years ago, the cure for the ills of democracy is more democracy. And banning gerrymandering is one way to get us more democracy in Wisconsin. We need more democracy desperately in this country right now. We need more democracy desperately here in Wisconsin. So let's take the cure that Fighting Bob La Follette prescribed for us 100 years ago. So thanks very much for listening. And I'm happy to take as many questions as you got. Actually, Representative Diane Hesselbein in the last session of the legislature introduced a bill to give us a constitutional amendment. This would be the permanent fix for the problem of gerrymandering in Wisconsin. Yes, we can pass a law that says ban it and the governor could sign it. But then if there's a new governor or a new legislature, they could overturn it and go back to this rigged way of drawing maps. Amending the Constitution, we favor also at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And we backed the Hesselbein bill. So that, of course, that is a long process, which would take about 4 years as well, at a minimum. To pass a constitutional amendment, it has to pass two consecutive sessions of the legislature, and then it goes to the people in a binding referendum or plebiscite. The only time we ever get the ability to vote in a binding referendum is when we're amending the Constitution. But I'm in favor of it, and I'd like to see it happen. It's hard to know how the courts are going to rule on this and what they're going to consider, especially in federal court after the Chief Justice Roberts threw out those gerrymandering cases in North Carolina and Maryland. I don't know how they're going to be able to rule unless it's racial discrimination. And the case law on racial and Supreme Court precedent on racial discrimination is really firm. So that may be our best ground. At the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I don't know whether they would consider the maps drawn by the Fair Maps Commission or not, nor do I know whether they do it in federal court, but it certainly, there's no harm done in it. It can't hurt. And I think it's going to really illustrate the difference if you're using nonpartisan, impartial criteria when you're drawing a map versus, you know, when you're using the most partisan data you can grab and then distorting a map that way. So I think it'll be a huge, great illustration. And actually, that's what Governor Evers said when he announced the People's Maps Commission. I was at the governor's press conference in the Capitol where he said, we're going to be able to hold up our map and then going to be able to show you it compared to the other side's map. And it should be pretty obvious which is fairer and neater and cleaner and has less crazy looking districts. No, you're going to have to wait for my next book, Nick. You're going to have to wait. That's coming out in a year. That's going to be called 12 Ways to Save Democracy. But we have written a lot. So there's a chapter in that book on banning gerrymandering. And it goes into all these details. But we have a lot of stuff on banning gerrymandering at our website right now, which is wisdc.org, www.wisconsindcfordemocracycampaign.org. And then if you look at the menu bar, there's something that called reforms toward the right side. You click on that, and then there's fair maps. And you click on that, and then that'll take you to a link to our toolkit. We wrote a toolkit. I wrote most of this myself last year, and really explains the issue backwards and forwards, and has a map. The one that's sitting over my shoulder is there, all the referendums and resolutions and the percentages that they passed by, and sample letters to the editor, and all, and a brief history, etc. So there's a lot of good stuff there. So if you want something before my book comes out, that's the place to go. There's also Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition website. That's fairmapswi.com. That's another good resource, fairmapswi.com. There's just a lot of pressure from people. They're seeing people's signs, you know, it's time for fair maps, or this time for fair maps, or ban gerrymandering. They're seeing these signs in the yards of their constituents. They're hearing from their constituents by email and by phone and by letter. When they go shopping at the market or at the hardware store, they, you know, are hearing from their constituents. And so it's going to be a problem for them if they don't sign on to it. And I know the speaker might not want them to sign on, but, you know, look what happened last time. All of a sudden, these people came forward and on their own accord, or pressed by their constituents, they signed on to the legislation, especially, you know, those who are in competitive districts. I mean, one problem with gerrymandering is there are not enough competitive districts, but in competitive districts, in open seats, in seats where a legislator might be in his or her last term, and they got nothing to lose. You know, one of the champions of nonpartisan redistricting in Wisconsin is former Republican Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz. He's been going around the state with Tim Cullen, the former Senate Majority Leader on the Democratic side, for the last 3 years doing a dog and pony show about why we need to ban gerrymandering in Wisconsin. And Dale Schultz is the happiest man in Wisconsin. Why is he the happiest man in Wisconsin? Because he can look himself in the mirror and like what he sees every morning. Because remember, when he was in power, he wasn't majority leader at the time. Fitzgerald was majority leader when Act 10 came down the pike. And Fitzgerald was twisting everybody's arm in the Republican caucus to vote for it. And Dale Schultz said, no, I'm not going to vote for Act 10. And on the mining bill, which was written by the mining company of all things, Dale Schultz said, no, I'm not going to vote for it. So Fitzgerald said, okay, you want to be a hero? We're going to run you out of office. We're not going to give you any money. We're going to give money to an opponent in your district who we're going to shower with a ton of money. So you're going to lose your job. And Dale Schultz said, I don't care. I'm not running for reelection. And so, you know, I've become real good friends with Dale Schultz, and literally he is, you know, very happy about how he voted and that he stood for principle. And I think more and more, especially if people are toward the end of their careers, and there are a lot of legislators that are toward their end of their careers who are decent Republicans, like Rob Coles, state senator up in the Green Bay area, decent guy, knows right from wrong. And I would think those people who are now at the end of their career are going to say, look, I've had enough of this, and I'm going to do what Dale Schultz did. I like Governor Evers. I wish he was a little tougher and a little more proactive, but I do feel sorry for Governor Evers, I got to say. I mean, he's had, you know, his both hands tied behind his back since he won the election. They took his power, some of his powers away in the lame duck session. Then the Wisconsin Supreme Court took some of his powers away as far as COVID goes. The legislature, Voss and Fitzgerald, are doing nothing to help, to say the least. Actually, I think Voss, Fitzgerald, the conservatives on the state Supreme Court should be charged with reckless disregard for human life for the way they've responded to this COVID pandemic. It's just outrageous that they're not allowing the elected officials and the health secretary to do what's necessary to protect us here in Wisconsin. It's outrageous. he's in a tough spot. And, you know, I wonder whether he's even going to run for reelection. I read an article in the Journal Sentinel a while back where even though his popularity is over 50%, he was asked whether he was going to run for reelection again. He said, if I'm having fun. I don't think he's having a lot of fun there. I haven't made it very fun.
I'm sure.
So go to just Google People's Maps Commission, and that mm-hmm. will take you to the People's Maps Commission website. And at the bottom of that website, I think there's a list of their upcoming hearings around the state. They're not having a hearing in the 2nd Congressional District, I think, until after the new year. But they've had one hearing already up in the Green Bay area, and they had another one in Washera County, I think, in that area, the 6th CD, or the 5th CD. So, yeah, they've had one in the 8th Congressional District and the 5th Congressional District. But I don't think they're going to have one in our area until after the election, and I think after the new year, actually. But I think you can also go to their website and probably send in, your testimony or your sentiments on the subject. So they're open to getting people's input, and we encourage that. Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Wisconsin Voices, and the Fair Maps, Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. Yeah. Fair Elections Project, did I mention that? Yeah. So those are the people we meet regularly. One of the great things that few people know about is that whether the issue is gerrymandering, whether the issue is voting rights, whether the issue is fighting for racial equity and justice in Wisconsin, the progressive nonprofit pro-democracy groups, we're all working together. Actually, we're a model for other states. You know, we've shelved our egos pretty much. We've torn down our silos. We meet on a regular basis. We share resources. We share strategies. We co-write op-eds together. We go to people's press conferences. We respond to challenges that are coming up and share information. To me, it's a very promising thing for our state. And it goes unnoticed by the media. But I think this unity among the progressive nonprofit community in Wisconsin is going to help us just push this pro-democracy agenda across the board in the years to come. And one of the nice things about this is a lot of the folks in these progressive nonprofits don't have the gray hair that I got. A lot of them are 30, 40 years younger than I am, and they are going to be helping our state for years and years to come. So that gives me a lot of hope. Yeah, the women are really carrying the water these days. They're really doing the work, and they are, I think, the most promising in the Democratic Party. Katrina Shanklin has led this campaign to bring back local control, self-rule in local communities, because in the Walker era, the governor and the Republican legislature passed more than 180 bills that took away the ability of local governments to be able to do what their citizens wanted locally, as far as, for instance, cell tower siting. You know, you could put a cell tower companies can put a cell tower on the most scenic bluff in your community, and the county would have no control over zoning for that cell tower because of legislation that's been passed and that Walker signed. That's just one example. And so Katrina Shanklin has been leading this effort to restore self-rule in Wisconsin. It's supposed to be guaranteed by our Constitution. I was on a panel once with her in Madison at one of these idea fests that the Cap Times puts together. And she showed up in a power outfit. She showed up in a Packers sweatshirt and blue jeans. And I just thought that was great. I mean, this woman, she knows her constituents, and she knows Wisconsin, and she's not trying to just impress people with, you know, how fancy she can dress. She dressed like a normal badger. And so I thought her style was right. I think her principles are great. And she's one of the most impressive people I've seen in the Democratic legislature. Stevens Point. Yeah, and have her talk about local control. She really knows this issue six ways to Sunday. So, okay, Katrina Shanklin there from Stevens Point. Melissa Sargent, who's been in the assembly in the Madison area and is running for state senate, is likely to win. Sheila Stubbs is a legislator in Madison, who's excellent. Diane Hesselbein is excellent. Those are some of the the best leaders. Mandela Barnes, our lieutenant governor, is a comer too, I think. It's one of the shocking things about the way the Republican Party is operating. You know, they're for something until they get the power where they don't need to be for it anymore, and then they're totally against it. And it's true on local control. Republican Party used to be the party of local control. Part of that was a racist thing back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and even further back. They wanted local control so they could discriminate against blacks, or they wanted local control so they could have, you know, codicils and real estate dealings if blacks can't move into this neighborhood, that neighborhood, or the other, or Jews can't, you know, buy the house. That was local control. Of course, I'm not for local control when it takes people's fundamental rights away, but I am for local control when it's, you know, how much is the minimum wage we should have, whether we should have sick leave, paid sick leave or not, whether we should be able to, you know, regulate the factory farms or not, whether we could tell these cell tower companies, you can't put your cell tower on the bluff overlooking the Mississippi or overlooking Devil's Lake. You know, it's just amazing to me that the Republicans, once they get to the legislature here, it's a lot of them come from county government or city government or village government. They come here and then they just take that power away from the county and the city and the village. It's nuts. I've got a quote on my wall from him. This was appeared in the Capital Times about a week before he stepped down. He was asked why he's leaving. And here's what he said. When some think tank comes up with the legislation and tells you not to fool with it, why are you even a legislator anymore? You're just kind of a feudal serf for folks with a lot of money. And he, what was he referring to there? He was referring to ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, that's funded by the Koch family. He was referring to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, these groups that just, you know, force feed legislators right-wing legislation that they append their name to, and then they ram it through. I mean, it's just a joke. Yeah, enjoy Abby. She's a wonderful person. And she, we got her on our board because she was, for her master's program, she did a little report on the work at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and she seemed like a natural. So we put her on our board, and then she became president of the board or chair of the board. So she's wonderful.
Well, thank you very, very much, Matt.
My pleasure. I hope everyone has a nice day. Go Pack, go. Really enjoyed it.